Well, good morning. Hey, we are in the middle of a series called The Incredibles. The Incredibles, for those of you all who don't know, are a family of superheroes who do extraordinary things. And each week during the month of July, we're looking at various Bible characters, men and women from the Bible, who were called by God to live incredible lives, do incredible things. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at their lives and seeing what we can learn from them so that we can do the same incredible things and have incredible lives as well. You know, the Bible is full of people just like you and me. Imperfect people who God used to do incredible things for His glory. And today we're going to look at one of my favorite Bible characters. We're going to look at David. Now, David was flawed, and yet at the end, when it was all said and done, do you know what God said about David? God said that David was a man after His own heart. You know, if you ask me, that's a pretty high mark on life's scorecard. That's pretty incredible. If God says that a man was created, David, and he had a heart after God Himself. So, who is David? And what is it about him that enabled God to use him to do incredible things? Well, here's what we know. David was the youngest of eight. And the first time we see David, we find him out in the field tending sheep. But David was more than a shepherd. You see, David eventually becomes the king of Israel. Now, here's the thing. Israel already had a king. They had King Saul. But King Saul was disobedient to the Lord. And because of his repeated disobedience, the Bible tells us that the Lord rejected Saul, and He instructed the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king who would ultimately replace him. And so that's the first time that we run into David in the Bible. You see, the prophet Samuel was told by the Lord to go to a man named Jesse's house and to anoint one of his sons to be the future king of Israel. So Samuel shows up on the scene, and one by one, Jesse parades each one of his sons in front of the prophet Samuel. And when Samuel saw Jesse's firstborn son, this is what he thought. He thought, there he is. He's the man. Man, he checks every box on the checklist. But you know what? God had something else to say. Look what the Lord had to say in 1 Samuel 16:7. He said, but God told Samuel, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with his looks and his stature. I've already eliminated him. God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face. God looks into the heart. So you see, Samuel looked at the firstborn, Eliab, and thought, he's the man for the job. He had it all. He was the total package. He had the looks. He had the height. Everything from the outward appearance said that he would be the one that God would surely choose to be the next king of Israel. But do you know what? God rejected him. He passed over him. He was disqualified. And he said, I will choose a man after my own heart. And so what did Jesse do? Jesse proceeded to have each one of his sons pass in front of the prophet Samuel. But guess what? None of them were God's man for the job. And after the last son passed by, Samuel asked Jesse this question in 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. He says, are these all the sons you have? Is this all you've got? And Jesse replied and said, there is still the youngest, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We'll not sit down and eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him, and the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. So Samuel anoints David to be the next king of Israel. There was something about David that separated him from his brothers. I believe that it was the posture of his heart that positioned him to be used by God to do incredible things. And what's interesting about this story is that after David is anointed king, do you know what he goes back to do? He goes back to tending the sheep. In fact, Bible historians tell us that it was approximately 15 years between the time that David was anointed as king and the time that he was appointed as king. Now, David does eventually go on to become king, and he's a mighty king, and he did great things. He wrote many of the songs in the book of Psalms. And really, there are a lot of things that we could look at when we're talking about the life of David. But this morning, I want to focus in on one story. I want to focus in on the story of David and Goliath. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, here's the deal. We're going to read the whole chapter. The whole chapter. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read all the way to verse 50. We're going to read the whole story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:1 says this. It says, "The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Succoth and Judah and Ascot and Ephes-Damon. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out from Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. 'Why are you all coming out to fight?' he called. 'I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me.'" Jump down to verse 16. "For 40 days, everyone say 40 days. 40 days. For 40 days, every morning and every evening, the Philistine champion came and strutted in front of the Israelite army. Jump down to verse 21. "Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out the ranks to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelites saw him, they began to run away in fright." Verse 25, "Have you seen the giant?" the men asked David. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and that man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes." Now David paused for a moment, and he scratched his head, and he said, "What'd you just say?" He asked the soldier standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" Verse 27, "And these men gave David the same reply. They said, 'Yes, that is the reward for killing him.' But when David's oldest brother," remember him, Eliab? The guy at the beginning of the story that kind of got passed over. "When David's oldest brother, Eliab, saw him and heard David talking to the men, he was angry." Surprise, surprise. "What are you doing around here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you were supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question." He walked over to some of the others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. And do you know what happened next? All of a sudden, the news of David asking questions, made it all the way to the top. It was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for David. Verse 32, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight the Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I have done this both to the lions and the bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again, and he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he put them in a shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across to the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out to David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at the ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the name of his God. "Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come at me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle." David said, "This isn't going to be done the way you think it's going to be done. This is God's battle, and he will give you to us." As Goliath moved closer to attack, David ran quickly to meet him, and reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out the stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over, pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and David used it to kill him and cut off his head. You see, David faced a giant that day. And truth be told, all of us face giants at some point in life. Sometimes the giants come from the outside. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, or maybe it's a problem that we can't seem to solve on our own. Sometimes the giants come from within: depression, discouragement, self-doubt, low self-esteem, a sickness, a disease, a habit that we can't seem to break. None of us are immune to the giants. But with God's help, we can overcome the giants in our life. And when we look at the story of David and Goliath, there are 3 incredible things that stand out to me that I want to focus on this morning. And the first takeaway from the story is that David's faithfulness prepared him for his future. You see, David didn't become a giant killer overnight. He prepared and he trained to become a giant killer by protecting his father's sheep. When Saul tried to tell David that he wasn't qualified to take on the giant, David responded and said, "Who are you kidding? Of course I'm qualified Because you know what? I've attacked the lion, and I've attacked the bear. And when they've come and they've tried to snatch one of my father's sheep, I've approached the lion, I've approached the bear, and I've taken it from its mouth. And if that lion or that bear turns on me, what do? I club it to death. I am trained. I am equipped. Before the blockbuster moment of the killing of Goliath, David was simply doing what he had been told to do, to tend and protect his dad's sheep. It wasn't glamorous work. It was hard. It was dirty. It was smelly. But in spite of all of that, David was faithful. Not only was David faithful to protect his father's sheep, he was faithful to carry out his father's requests. You see, David was doing what he did every day. He was caring for the sheep. He was feeding for them. But then one day, his dad had another job for him. 1 Samuel 17:17 tells the story of when his father Jesse called to him and said, David, I need you to take some corn and bread to your brothers. Take cheese to the captain. Son, I need you to help me help them. And I want to find out how they're doing. So Jesse asked his son David to take some corn, bread, and cheese to the front line of the war. Now, I'm sure this request wasn't convenient. I mean, David had plenty of work to do. He had plenty of sheep to take care of. But his father had an additional chore that he needed done. He needed him to make a delivery to his brothers. And David didn't do what many of us probably would have done at that age. He didn't gripe or complain. He didn't delay. And he didn't refuse to go. 1 Samuel 17:20 says, so David rose early in the morning. He left the sheep with the keeper. And he took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. You see, David's heart was in the right place. His attitude towards his father was right. And he was faithful. Now, the task at hand really wasn't that big of a deal, was it? I mean, Dad had sent David, the shepherd boy, who was to be the future king, to the front line with corn and cheese. I mean, it seems like a pretty menial task, doesn't it? The future king-to-be carrying cheese and corn. Yet that's what happened. And notice what followed. God used David's faithfulness to promote him to another level. You see, the only reason David ended up on the battlefield was because he was on assignment from his father, Jesse. And because he was faithful, he was positioned by God to be used in a mighty way. We all know David fought Goliath and won, but don't miss the point. He wasn't there to fight the giant. That wasn't the purpose for him being on the battlefield that day. Had David not learned the value of faithfulness, he would have never been on the battlefield. Not only was David faithful as a shepherd and faithful to his father, he was faithful to the king that he was appointed to replace. You see, after killing Goliath, Saul kept David with him. David was faithful to King Saul, and he did everything that Saul asked. And as a result, David was promoted. King Saul promoted him in his army, and he became very successful. Now, eventually, David grew in popularity with the people, so much to the point that Saul became very jealous. In fact, he was so jealous, he was enraged with jealousy, that he tried to kill him. The Bible tells us that Saul tried at least 6 times to kill David. And yet, David never took advantage of any opportunity to strike back. In fact, there was this one time when Saul and his army were chasing David and his men, and David and his men were hiding in a cave, and Saul and his men didn't know David and his men were in the cave. And Saul left his men outside the cave and went into the cave. And unbeknownst to Saul, David's behind him in the cave. David had every opportunity to take Saul out. And you know what? The Bible tells us that David's men even encouraged him. They urged him. Now's your chance, David. Your anointed king. Now's your chance. Take what's yours. He's hunted you down like a dog. Vengeance is yours, David. But you know what? The Bible said that David couldn't raise a hand to hurt him. Now, what he did do is he snuck up behind Saul. Saul didn't even know he was there. And he used his spear to cut off a portion of Saul's robe. And Saul left the cave, and immediately David's heart was convicted. His conscience began to bother him. And so he also left the cave. And look what transpired in 1 Samuel 24, 8 through 10. It says, after Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. And some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one." You see, David was faithful to the sheep. David was faithful to his father. And David was faithful to the king. Even the king who hated him. And through this aspect of the story, we see an important spiritual principle. Faithfulness is God's path for promotion. If we ever want to kill a giant, if we ever want to do incredible things in our life, then we have to be faithful where we are, because faithfulness prepares you for your future. The second incredible thing that stood out to me in the story of David and Goliath is that David didn't try to be something that he wasn't. You know, after David accepted Goliath's challenge, what did King Saul do? He tried to make him look and act like a soldier. He tried to dress him in armor and give him a sword and a shield. You know, Saul believed that if David was going to face a warrior like Goliath, he should be equipped with the best weapons and armor available. So what did he do? He gave him his own. However, when David tried on the armor, he found out that it didn't fit. Saul was a grown man. Bible experts will tell us that David was anywhere between 15 and 17 years of age when he faced Goliath. Besides that, David was a shepherd. He wasn't a soldier. The armor was too heavy. He wasn't used to that kind of weight. The sword, it was too big. And while wearing the armor would have made him maybe safer in some ways, guess what? It would have slowed him down, and it would have held him back from doing the very thing that God had called him to do. David couldn't walk in it, let alone fight in it. David was given all the things that a soldier needed to defeat Goliath. But David wasn't a soldier. He was a shepherd. He didn't fit into soldiers' clothing. They simply weren't his to wear. He was a shepherd. And if he was going to win the battle, he was going to win the battle not as a soldier, but as a shepherd. You know, if David had gone onto the battlefield in Saul's armor, I believe it would have been outside God's plan. David was appointed by God to defeat Goliath because not because he was a great warrior, but because he was a shepherd. The giant was already known. He had a reputation for defeating warriors. A warrior isn't what was needed. So what did David do? He took off Saul's armor, and he went and found things that were familiar to him. 1 Samuel 17:40 says, he took his shepherd's stick and then picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream to put them in his bag. With his sling ready, he went out to meet Goliath. David wore what fit him and succeeded. And think about it. It had to take wisdom. It had to take confidence. it had to take faith in God for David to recognize that being himself and using his own gifts and his own unique experiences would be more effective than fitting the mold of what was expected. David didn't fit the mold. And it turns out that's exactly what enabled him to be successful. And the lesson here for each of us is this: if we want to fulfill God's purpose for our lives, then we have to do it as ourselves. We should embrace the people that God has called us to be. We should embrace who we were created to be. Each of us is called by God to fulfill a purpose in our life. And each of us have been given gifts and talents, tools, or even weapons, if you will, to use for the glory of God. Each of us are uniquely made and equipped to succeed. And there will be giants along the way that each of us will have to slay. But the good news is this: we have what it takes because of his spirit in us and because of the gifts and the abilities that he's created within us. Yet how many of us are tempted to wear life clothes that we know don't fit? How many of us get up every day and work so hard to be something we're not because we're so afraid that if people saw the real us, it wouldn't be enough? But I'm going to let you in on a Bible secret. You are fearfully and wonderfully made just the way you are. God doesn't make mistakes. You may not think you're good enough, but by God's grace, his love, and the transforming power of his word and his spirit, they enable you to be bigger than who you think you are. They enable you to be the incredible person that God has created you to be. In fact, our individual personalities, our gifts, our anointings, the things that we're graced to do uniquely prepare us for any and every giant that we face. And this is good news because no matter what giant stands in the way of our destiny, we can confidently approach them as ourselves. Regardless of the situation, who we are is the most powerful person we can be. And when we recognize that God has made us, he's equipped us, and he empowered us, we can slay any giant in our path. The third incredible thing that stood out to me in the story of David and Goliath is that David's focus was on his God, not on his giant. You know your giant. You know his voice. You recognize the thunder of his footsteps. But just like David, you can defeat your giant. David was focused on the size of his giant. He was focused on the size of his God. He didn't obsess about the size of his giant. In fact, it never really even crossed his mind. When all of the Israelite army was freaking out that there was a 9-foot mutant giant in front of them, David didn't even think twice about it. David didn't even look at the giant because he was looking beyond the giant. He was looking at his God. And if you look at the story, you'll notice that David never even prayed that he'd defeat the giant. He never had an, "Oh dear Lord, please, if it might be thy will," moment. He never did. He didn't have to pray that he'd defeat the giant because he knew that he already had the victory. David looked Goliath in the eyes and he said, "Goliath, you come against me with sword and shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." In other words, you've got a sword, but I've got something bigger. I've got God Almighty backing me up. And he said with boldness and confidence, Goliath, this day, the Lord will deliver you in my hands, and I will defeat you and feed your head to the birds of the air. He held his head high, fully persuaded in faith. He said, you may be big, but my God is bigger. If you're facing a giant, don't tell the world how big the giant is. Tell the world how big your God is. Be like David. Stand in faith. Be bold. Speak victory. Declare it. At the end of the story of David and Goliath, we read this. 1 Samuel 17:50. So David triumphed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. In just a matter of hours, a shepherd boy armed only with a sling and his faith in God took down a giant that had been taunting the entire nation of Israel for 40 days. My question to you today is, what Goliath are you facing right now? It might be an impossible situation at work. It might be a financial difficulty. It might be a broken relationship. I know what it's like to face a giant. In May of 2009, I received the diagnosis of malignant melanoma. It was a giant in my path that I didn't expect. And to be honest, when I first heard those words, my eyes were locked on the eyes of the giant. But I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice to see beyond the giant and to look at the promise of God's word. Because the truth of God's word told me a different story. The truth of God's word told me that I didn't have to be afraid. The truth of God's word said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The truth of God's word says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And the truth of God's word says that by his stripes you are healed. It doesn't matter the giant that's in front of you today. You can look beyond the giant and focus on the truth of God's word because it tells a different story.